Okay, so what this is?
Yeah. Yeah, go.
This will be
Dave, what is this?
Yeah, exactly. This is TIYA After Dark. Okay? So this is the premium feed for This Is Your Afterlife, which is unbound by the main feed, the
Stream
format
Mania.
There. Okay. Yeah, so we can do yeah, exactly. The idea is to have whims and follow the whims. And one of those whims was, I mean, I like talking process stuff and miss certain aspects of stand-up, including like talking about stand-up in a way that I have always felt it very easy to do with you. So you releasing a special felt like a good opportunity to like dive into that. And I would love to like also... Yeah, if that any of that can be service to you of talking about the special of getting it out, I'd like to be maximally of service while putting the majority of the conversation behind a paywall.
Great. Yeah, okay. That's fine. Great.
So yeah, thank you to folks for listening. This is the way to make the show weekly as well, because This Is Your Afterlife has gone bi-weekly. This is on the off weeks. So if you're listening here, you're listening to the full vision. I don't run ads, and you all supporting here helps make the show happen. So thank you very much. I'm talking to Lucas O'Neill. Hi, Lucas.
Hey, everybody.
Previous guest of the show, and you released your special. Is this your first special?
This is my first special. This is my first full-length special is what I would say. Despite many people thinking that they have already seen my special because they saw something on the internet, which is how things work. Many people came up to me having seen my like Comedy Central sets and just been like, I saw your special. It was great. And I go, it was 8 minutes. That was... Like it's not.
They're like, yeah, but I only saw 30 seconds. So
I know. And they were like,
if I saw 30 seconds of 8 minutes, 30 seconds of a special. It was good. What do you want, dude?
I know. Yeah. I know. We're like tracking views on it. And I'm like, what counts as a view? How many seconds does it need? You know what I mean? Like 3, 5? What is
that?
That
way lies madness, dude. Mm-hmm, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But it's called Emotional Man.
Yes. It's called Emotional Man. It's out now on YouTube. Released on February 17th, and it's I'll call it like a stand-up dramedy special.
Stand-up dramedy special? Do you really? Well, this is, I forget where we were you must have started working on it when we talked for the podcast, right?
Yeah.
No, you did, because I remember seeing your post-it notes on your wall behind you.
Yes.
But it's a very good special. I watched it. Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you, man.
And I'm excited to talk to you. I mean, I would hope that I watched it and enjoyed it. That's the least I can do. But I'm excited to talk to you about it.
It would be, I've been on podcasts, obviously, where they haven't watched it at all. And it's like, fine. Yeah. So I really appreciate that you have.
For sure. But you're my friend, you know?
Yes, you're someone
who I'm excited to see. It was, 800-pound gorilla is the company that released it. I know that's one of the ones. That's one of the YouTube avatar logos I'm used to seeing next to people who've officially released specials. So good job, buddy.
Thanks, man. Me and Kevin Nealon both released it similar times.
Really?
Me and Kevin Nealon. Yeah, we had our little graphics right next to each other.
So those are the views you are really tracking, is like who goes up faster. You know, well, I can't give myself like, well, his came out a month before mine or whatever. You're like, no, this is how you rate compared to Kevin Nealon.
Absolutely. And also I opened for Kevin Nealon once. And so I do feel slightly competitive. He really nice. It was really nice. Except he was like, do you want to get a drink after? And I was like, sure, you know? And then we went to get a drink at the bar, and then he just read notes on his script next to me the whole time until I finally had to be like, all right, man, I'm going to go.
Yeah. Like not allowed to you. He just kind of sat next to you reading.
No, but that feels really possible too. Cause the second he walked into the green room before the show, he said, hey, I saw your clip. Very good. I was like, oh, that's nice. Okay. And then he was like, I got this hiking show on Twitter. And then he just showed it to me and he like made me watch it.
Oh my God. I mean, God bless him. He seems God bless fine, him. You know?
Yeah. And then he was really clear. He was like, you got to get in a writer's room. And I said, okay. He's like, you have to write. You do not want to be on the road when you're 60. I said, okay.
And he
no writer's rooms exists anymore.
Right. Or like, and that is so funny, dude. That's the like inside the entertainment industry version of your mom's friend telling you you should be on SNL.
Yeah, a little.
Like, okay, dude, you got to connect for me? Someone I should talk to or what? We're just, okay, well, yeah, I'd love to do that.
I mean, that's almost the whole industry, isn't it? It's just people being like, I loved what you did. We'll keep you in mind. I go, for what? And they go, we'll keep you in mind. I go, for what? They go, well, would you want to be in a writer's room? I go, yeah, I'd love to be employed. They go, it's awesome. And then I never hear from them again.
You actually do like call them on it like that? Like say like for what?
Well, sometimes, well, no, but they do, they genuinely do the thing where they go, would you want to be in a writer's room?
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, of course. Yeah. And they go, that's great to know. Some people don't. I go, who are these people?
Yeah. It's really just like, there's a basic assumption of like, on some level, they're asking, like, do you want to be employed? Like, do you want to work? Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, in this industry I've worked in basically for free for like 15 years. Uh-huh. Yeah, it'd be cool. Could be cool.
You weren't just wanting to do free. You didn't want to do free the whole time?
Yeah. That's why I wrote these multiple scripts for free.
Yeah.
Because I was hoping that it would never change.
Well, some people do like, they like writing scripts in their free time. So we weren't sure. We weren't sure if you were one of those people who, yeah. So Emotional Man.
Yeah.
You Emotional had started Man. Writing it when we, we're not going to do this is not going to be as programmatic as it could be. This will not be as vivisected as it could be. But there are, you know, things that it made me think. And so we'll go from there. But I guess the way I wanted to start was to ask you when you had the idea to make it as a special, as opposed to just, when did it go from, oh, this is a bunch of material to, oh, this is the beginning of a special?
Wow, great question.
Thank you.
Truly, it was kind of like 2021 probably. And I was not doing anything in the pandemic. And I was like, I should write a show. and I was thinking, well, actually, I was thinking a lot about how I was in such a state of isolation. I mean, many of us were, but to differing degrees. And I was just so aware of how other people make us who we are, how we are not like about like our identity is formed through the other people we're surrounded by. Mm-hmm. And so my mother had just passed and I was basically just me and my partner and my dad and my dad's new girlfriend. And that was like a lot of the people we were around.
And so you're in Maine at this time.
That's right. I'm in Maine.
Because in the special, you talk about moving back up to Maine.
Yep.
At least in the special, you paint it as a house like across the street from the cemetery where your mom is.
Yeah. It's like a very small cabin. Yeah.
So literally true?
Yes, literally true. At the end of the driveway, and I do say this is where we're in the show, at the end of this driveway is like the graveyard where my mom's buried. And the three other plots that my dad purchased for us in the future.
Yes.
It's a graveyard where in the summers we used to like walk around as like an activity. We would like walk through this graveyard and like, you know, look at how old the people were. I mean, it was like,
I mean, when you're light on green space, a graveyard's like a fine place to walk through.
Yeah. And like, you know, it is sad as like an old rural graveyard. So like, you know, there are some young, it's not, the numbers aren't exciting. The numbers, you go, oh, that's not good. But yeah, so it's like a 7 year old's just like looking at it. Yes, so that is true. That's where I lived. And so my, yes, and I was very close to my dad, who was like kind of in the adjoining property.
Okay. Yeah. So she had died. You're up in Maine, mm-hmm. and you're thinking, so it was, so this is always interesting to me too, is like the idea of, because my last couple things have kind of been sort of like top down ideas rather than like I was like, oh, I'm getting into black metal music. I want to make a thing about my feelings and associations with black metal.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, I have one setup of half of a joke that then slowly, organically, it's like, it's very, it's a, my process has been a little inorganic recently. And not that like top down like that has to be inorganic. But anyway, you, it sounds like, had a little bit of that where you're like, I want to write a show, not like these things deserve to belong together sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, I think it's never, yeah. However you start, like if it's top down and you give yourself some scaffolding, that's fine. I think that's great. So
it's,
I was basically
fine.
Like,
as long as you want to be doing it, you're interested. Yeah. That's what I've had to like let go of. Yeah.
Definitely. And you can get caught in the concept and it can dead end you. That's true.
Yes.
But so I was like, I also had not done stand up as long as I hadn't been, I had stopped doing stand up in like, you know, over a decade. I had just been doing it consistently. And then the pandemic happened and I stopped. And it did, it made me certainly revisit how I felt about the art form. And also I was like, just looking at this material I had built, and I was like, well, who is this person? Who's this persona that I built? What would it be like to try to take this, lay it out, explore who this person is, and then kind of go beyond that?
So did you have any answer? Like, what were the answers you, did you come to concrete answers about who that person was?
No. I mean, I think that that person kind of gets laid bare a bit in the special of like, yeah, I mean, a little bit like of a frustrated, like, you know, boy, basically, like trying to assert himself. And I think like, and being like, why am I seen like this? And why does the world see me like this? And why is it different than the way I see myself? And whatever. I don't know. Does it come through? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I guess I was just curious if in the process of doing that, it sounds like a very existential process like, what persona have I crafted for myself? And am I just, I mean, it's kind of like I've been doing this for long enough. I've developed, you know, there's all this shit. I feel like I don't hear it as much anymore. People talking about like finding your voice that I was like obsessed with when like starting stand up. And, I don't think about it much anymore, except to be like, huh, I think I kind of, you know, you never want to like land on something, but like, I think I kind of found it. I think, and in a way that I'm like, man, I was obsessed with that idea for so long. It's cool to have that thought, but maybe you were at the process of being like, okay, I've developed the skills. Now let me be intentional with this stuff as opposed to just like what makes people laugh.
100%.
Okay. 100%. And were you like, and I also think I want to change this persona in X or Y way.
I think that I try to be like, this is what it was. This big thing happened. What happens after? I kind of just tried to do a before and after. And I just felt like there would be comedy, all these bits explaining who I am, who my family is, blah, 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 all these things. And then what those, like kind of the underside of those jokes is kind of what I was thinking. It's like, you know, because the joke is often this like the tip of the iceberg of like some real things that are happening.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting to me to give myself permission to then give more range of emotion on the back half to explore like.
So the thing that happened being your mom.
My mom passing away. Yeah.
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 And so you were like, okay. So it wasn't like, I'm going to write all new material. You're like, no. This is how Well, when she died, did you have any thought of like, this is the show? Because certainly you'd seen people like start to form shows out of life experience. You went to Edinburgh. You know, certainly the My Parent Died show is a whole genre of show.
Totally, which I think we talked about last time. It's like, I didn't even know that though.
Yeah, when I went,
I was just like, oh, people don't do this in the States. And then it's like, I got out there and they were like, we do this all the time. It's going to be hard to sell your show as distinct. I was like, okay, great. Why did I do this? But it was amazing. I mean, I'm glad I did it. The show wouldn't be done. It wouldn't exist if I didn't go. But I don't want to, your question about like, restate your question?
No.
Okay.
I got it.
Look, there's no way. I mean, you know, we've both obviously watched Birbiglia. We've both, know Gethard's work. Like there's like this idea of like when something very bad happens, you go, well, take notes because this could be interesting. And I did. I took a lot of notes, and I've learned that when bad things happen, it does take time before you are able to make jokes that the audience is okay with. You know, that they know that you're okay. Like you can be, you can get a little initial rush of like, I'm doing it, just happened, and people are like, okay, we're with you. And then when you try to replicate it, it's like, okay, you're not all right, so I can't laugh because I don't think you're all right. The audience can't worry about you.
Totally. But it sucks because when you're in it, like one of my favorite jokes in the special is almost like a, what's it like, diegetic, non-diegetic, like music in a movie, you know, it's like one is like music that the characters can hear. One is music that like we hear as we're watching. I forget which is the right word for it, but it's basically like, it is a joke that you as a character tell, you know, you're at the funeral and the garbage truck is backing up and you say to your sister, you're like, I think we just go with the grave, not with, It's like, I'm like, damn, dude, I can feel like how much, but you say she, who knows, in the special, you say she did not react to that. But to me, that's
like
a joke.
She didn't like it.
But she did.
She responded, but it was not, she wasn't like, ha ha ha.
But that
she
joke was like, crushes. That's such a good joke, dude. Like, that's so like, and when I remember waking up in the hospital and you can get away with so much shit when you've got like a flat affect and you were just like under sedative for a month. Like, it's carte blanche, dude. Like, let's fucking go, you know?
Of course. And there were many times I could get laughs like that and that we did joke back and forth. And I'd share one of the jokes she had shared with me, like in the special, she did say, right. She was talking about how hard it is to be a mother. And she's like, I don't know how mom did it.
Yeah.
And then I was well, she died young.
Right.
And then we laugh at that. Like we genuinely laugh because in that state for us, funniest thing you could say. I mean,
but you didn't need time. Like you were basically
finding
a way to rephrasing tragedy plus time equals comedy. But in the moment, you don't fucking, the best laughs actually need no time at all, but they require some other alchemy of context where people are in there with you or some, I wonder if this is it. They already don't think you're okay. And so when you make a joke, you've showed them you're okay, as opposed to people coming to see you do a show. They're expecting, this is a stand-up comedian doing a performance for us, not someone, I don't want to think about what tragic things have happened to them. Whereas you're in the hospital and you crack a joke, it's like, oh, he's okay.
Right, exactly.